So I was super blessed. Well, actually, I'll tell the story. So Dean texted myself and Andres in the same chat to let us know we were going to teach. And I didn't know until Andres told me, because I had not seen my text of that. But that was really exciting. I was just really excited. When he asked us to teach, he told me that it could be whatever I wanted. But I'm still doing the topic that I wanted to teach him, but I just thought it would probably be a good idea to relate it to the theme, because obviously I don't want to just teach us something completely unrelated. Obviously it's the word. It's not going to be bad, but I just wanted to relate it to the theme. So seeing as this is a youth advance, the thing that came to my mind was something that a lot of us youth may struggle with, which is feeling lost, or you might not know what to do when you are sad or when you're scared, but mainly just when you're sad or feeling depressed or whatever. It's still applicable to older people as well. It's applicable to everybody, but oftentimes we're more emotionally, mentally mature. But like I said, still applicable. It's applicable to anybody. And we're going to be sad. We're going to be scared. It's going to happen. We're not perfect. We have sin in our blood. We're born with sin in our blood. We're flawed. So to start, let's go to Psalm 34. So Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18. Sorry, I'll give you a second to get there. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So it says it right here. If we're of a broken, like us of a broken heart, God's going to heal us. But we just need to believe in him to do it. It says, he delivers us of all our troubles, and if we're of a broken heart. And it says also, the righteous cry. And if we don't know how to become righteous, we'll get there in a second. But I want to explain what this verse means by a broken heart. So it doesn't necessarily mean romantically, even though that's how the world may say it, like, oh, you got rejected by this guy or girl, or oh, your girlfriend or boyfriend dumped you. It can mean that, because that can hurt your heart. It can. But what it means to God is when it disturbs your usual peace, when our normal peace is not there, that's when we have a broken heart. And it could be whatever. It could be, oh, I just got fired at work. I didn't make the sports team. I can't play basketball now. Whatever it is. I know you like basketball, LJ. Did you make the team?
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess it doesn't apply, but thanks for making the team and ruining my analogy, bro. Thanks. But I'm kidding. Love you, bro. But the point is, if it disturbs our heart, God can't. I'm sorry, I have to move this. I keep bending over. Oh, yeah, that's better. Going back to how we're righteous, because remember, it said the righteous cry. Go to Romans 10. This is just a little bit of a sidetrack. It's not the main focus of the teaching, but it's still really important to know. So if you know these verses, I would like you to read them with me. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In verse 10, it says we believe unto righteousness. We believe we're righteous because God says we are. And does God lie? No! Big old N-O. God does not lie. We are righteous. And we're his kids. He loves us. We're righteous unto him. And there's a lot of other verses that explain how God takes care of us. But in this teaching, we're going to look at ones that talk specifically about when we're sad or in a stage of grief, whatever you want to call it. So let's go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. And verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So we're often going to face fear or uncertainty in instances when we're sad. Come on, who here has been sad but also scared because of it? It happens. We're not perfect. We have feeling. We can't just get over it by being told, oh, you're going to be fine. Sometimes it's hard because we're human, but that's why we go to God. And maybe we have fear of what else could happen. Maybe we're uncertain of whether we're good enough or righteous enough, which, another spoiler alert, we are, because God says we are. But basically what this verse is saying is we don't have to go through any of this struggle alone. God's there for us. He's ready and wanting to help. And all that we got to do is believe and act on 1 Peter 5:7. So let's go there. You know, I was going to mention earlier when I was reading Psalm 34:18, that brokenhearted thing. I think that's what that whole song, the "He heals the brokenhearted" or "He'll mend your shattered," whatever that one. I don't know how it goes. I'm not a singer either, so don't expect much. So 1 Peter 5, verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He cares for us, so we cast our cares unto him. Our worries, our fear, our stress, our doubt, these are all things that frequently occur when we're sad. And it's just, I don't know, maybe you're sad and just feel defeated. Like there's nothing you can do. You just feel like laying in bed all day and being like, oh, I guess I'll just wait till it goes away. Yeah, all right. I mean, you can do that, but if you want to get better, don't. Because when you fill your heart with the word, that's really how you get over something like this. Whatever it is that's bugging you, the solution is never just to wait it out and hope, oh, I hope I feel better tomorrow. When I wake up, I think I might feel a little better. Do you think you'll feel better? Yeah. If something's bothering your heart, you're like, oh, I'll sleep on it. What are you thinking? Just go to God. He loves you. He wants to take care of you. Because this is normal. He knew it would happen. We are going to have tribulation in this life. Our lives are not going to be perfect. When man sinned, we were separated from spirit. So we live this life, which Jesus has given us the opportunity to get the spirit again, but we have it once we're born again. And God just wants nothing more than to help us overcome these sad feelings because he loves us. And it may feel like there's no hope sometimes or good possible outcome in these situations where we're sad. Like we might really just feel that defeated, but there is. Jeremiah 29. This topic means so much to me. It's just such an eye-opener to what God can do for us. Because obviously we hear about the miracles all the time, like turning water to wine, raising someone from the dead. That's all amazing, and it's God's work. But we don't have to do that as frequently as we do just to fix the peace in our hearts. We don't really, I mean, if I were to put a list of how many times I've needed to raise somebody from the dead to how many times I've had to kind of get over my own sadness or like fix my heart, the ratio would be very far on this side. And by very far, I mean nothing here. So I like this topic because it's something that's very frequent. So Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So a slightly more understandable way to put this verse, I mean, you might understand it, but when I read it, I first didn't. A slightly more understandable way to put it is God has a plan for us, a plan that is prosperous and free of harm, giving us hope and giving us good things to look forward to in the future. Or maybe he just has something better for us. It's not always the way we want it to go. We don't always get to choose what God does for us, but we should be happy about that because Do you really think you know more than God? Do you think you know what God knows about what's going to happen. He knew we would be here today. He knew we would be doing this, which is, he's probably so blessed right now to see us be doing this, but he knows everything. So it's just, he knows how to bless us. So maybe what we think we want isn't what we want, or maybe he has something better. It could be either. Or maybe he will give you what you want. It really depends on the situation. Here, here's an example. Who here likes shoes? All right, I'm going to pick on you. Sam, what if you applied for some jobs, right? You didn't get the job at McDonald's. You might be disappointed. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it. But maybe God made sure that would happen so that the next week you would get the job at Foot Locker. You'd probably have a lot more fun working there, right? If you like shoes. Exactly. God knows what would be better. And he has a plan for us all the time. And it's just, it's so awesome. And sometimes we go through stuff. Like I said, it's going to happen. But God always has that plan for us, which makes it better. And he's going to heal us. He always wants to help, which is why he gave us the Spirit that we have. Holy Spirit, Christ in us. But we need to remember to do our part, too, which is believing. Which, if you think about it, is the easy part. We just got to believe that God loves us. And, I mean, that's what the whole Bible's for. He tells us how much he loves us. So many verses he says that. So let's go to 2 Timothy. Is this making sense so far? All right, that's good. Second Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Like I said earlier, fear is a very frequent occurrence when we're sad. We can just get scared. But, you know, maybe there's nothing we can do about it. Maybe it's too big for God. Maybe it's just too big. Maybe God can't do anything about it. I'm not hearing that. It's not loud enough. Yeah. Yep. Nothing is too big for God. Nothing. And if we think that, I'm not saying you should, but it happens. We all have doubt sometimes. I myself have doubt a lot. But that's why we fill our hearts with the Word, to renew our minds to it, to get rid of that doubt, to push it out of the way, so that we're reminded of how much God loves us. And it's just, he gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, not of fear. So with our Holy Spirit, with Christ in us, we don't need to be afraid. We have our power of a sound mind, of self-control, our self-discipline. And through our calmness of mind and our prayer and believing, God will get us through these times of sadness. We just need to trust in him and not be anxious. Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So in verse 6, it mentions what we were talking about earlier, presenting our requests to God, like letting it be made known unto him, just opening our hearts to him, letting him know what we need, as if he doesn't know already. But when we go to him about it, that's when we show that we want help, that we want him to help us, and we want to be cured. And we just need to believe for that. And in verse 7, just take a look at that first bit there where it says, "the peace of God." Remember how I said being brokenhearted means without our peace, without our usual peace. But with the peace of God, he guards our hearts. He takes care of our hearts, and he helps us restore our peace when it's disturbed. The peace of God that we get through filling our hearts with the Word. So one of the main things we've gone over to do so far with all these verses, when we're sad or scared, is to cast into God, pray and believe, which is great. And he will take care of it. But what else can we do? Let's go to Proverbs 17. Man, I love Proverbs. Proverbs and Psalms, some of the some of my favorite verses. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So, a merry heart, a happy heart, it'll heal us like a medicine. When you are sick, other than praying, of course, what do? You'll take some medicine. You'll take, if you have a headache, you might take an Advil, whatever it is, medicine. Other than God, that's what you'll do. And God should still be first, but I think we all know that. That's why it's third aid, not first aid. Pray for yourself. Anyone know the second one? Get prayed for. That's awesome. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. But a happy heart, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Do things that make you happy. Spend time with the fam. Spend time with believer friends. It'll just lift your spirits. It'll make you happier. And that can get rid of your sadness. That can get rid of your fear. That can get rid of your anxiety, your stress. And it's just a healing experience. But what if, like, after all these things, we still feel sad? Like, what if we're lost on how to overcome this sadness? Well, still in Proverbs, let's go back to chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So, it's easy to feel lost at a time where we feel like depressed or scared. We feel hopeless, confused, and like lost. We just might not know what to do because we're already going through a lot. There's a lot on our minds, a lot on our hearts. So maybe we're like, what do I even do? Like, you just feel overwhelmed, right? But we trust in the Lord and listen to what he has to say instead. Like what I said earlier, we don't know better than God. God knows what's best for us. So it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. We don't think that we know better. It's not in a condescending way either. God does know better. He's our creator. He's our father. He knows better. The same way your human father would know better when you're like a little kid. If he's telling you, nope, don't put the fork in the electric socket, I would listen to him. I don't know if you know what happens, but it's probably not fun. I haven't really done it. Actually, I put a quarter in one once, but God saved me because that was bad. I don't know if you remember that, Chloe. Yeah. Had a shock mark right here on his finger for a while. Learned my lesson. But he knows, and he works for what's good for us. And if we acknowledge him and trust in him, he's going to direct our paths and direct us away from sadness, right back to having our peace and being happy. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, the 8th Roman. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Are we called according to God's purpose?
Yes. Yep.
Damn right we are. And God works for what's good for us because we're his children. He doesn't want to see us sad. Who here has children? I'm really glad most of you did not raise your hand. But Jesse, would you want to see your kids sad?
No.
Exactly. And I'm sure you love your kids a lot too.
Yeah,
that's great. God loves us, his kids, more than any of us can love each other. Like, it's just not possible for us to love anyone else as much as God loves us. So how do you think he feels if he sees us sad? And I'm not saying you have to feel bad, like, oh, I'm making God sad by seeing sad. It doesn't bless him to see us sad because he cares about us. He wants us to be blessed. And he just loves us more than we can love anybody, so it must really make him pretty sad to see us sad. And we're called according to his purpose, so all things will work together for good for us who love God if we just trust in him and cast it all unto him. This verse reminds us as well that he's always at work in our lives, especially when we're sad and like we just don't feel our best. Like when we trust in his plan, he blesses and he takes care of us. He takes care of our needs. Let's go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. So if God's at our right hand, it means we're putting him first. When we set the Lord before us, he's with us at our right hand. He is with us at all times. When we put him first in our lives, he's always going to be with us. And he's always watching out for us, and he can take care of this sadness or fear that we have. He's always there for us. If I walked over there, I would feel pretty lonely because you guys are all here and I would be over there. But, you know, I technically wouldn't be because God would be with me. And that's just so cool. But we just got to put God first, apply the word in our lives. We shall not be moved. On my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. You know, another song reference. I think I'm pretty cool for that. We just won't be affected by the adversary's attempts to shake our stand on God's word. And we don't have to face these challenges alone because God is there for us. We don't have to feel alone. There's no reason to. He's there to help us, and he's never like, fine, I'll help you. I don't have anything better to do. You really think God's like that? No. It blesses God when we come to him. He wants us, that's part of building our relationship with him, is coming to him when we need help. Because like I said, we're going to need help. And part of our relationship with him is just like going to him and talking, like sharing our hearts, spilling it out to him. He likes when we talk to him. He loves it. He loves that we are his kid and we have that relationship with him. And when we're sad, it can really be a lot to deal with. And we'll feel demotivated and we might feel like it's too much to deal with all at once. But, you know, for that, let's go to Matthew 11. No, I already asked this, but is this making sense so far? All right, that's good. I might ask 2 or 3 more times, so get ready. Matthew 11, verses 28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Jesus Christ talking right there. And it's basically saying we can go to God when we feel weary and we have these burdens on our heart. He just gives us the rest we need. He directs our paths in a time of need. And so all of these verses I've shared have essentially said quite similar things. We can go to God. We should go to God. And he's going to take care of us as long as we trust in him to do so. But it's just, he's always going to be there. He's going to take care of us if we're sad because he loves us like that. And, you know, we can even just talk to him. We don't have to feel sad. We can talk to him like he's a friend that we've had for 20 years. One more song reference that I don't even know what song it is. The Your Friend Indeed, He'll Be... What song is that? Does anyone know? It's the same one. Revelation. But, come on. That's just so cool. He's our friend. We can talk to him. We don't have to be sad to talk to him. It can be whatever. And, like, if you just need to talk to somebody, God's your metaphorical and spiritual guy. Because he's not human. But, well, that one got you. That one made you laugh a little bit. But, now I'm really just going to talk about how this relates to the theme of being an ambassador. So for that, let's go to the theme verse in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Sorry, I'll give you a second to get there. I'm just got to hurry up. I don't have much time left. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So, we're ambassadors of Christ, meaning we kind of already learned the meaning of this verse last night in Dean's great teaching. That was awesome, Dino. Love you, bro. But we fill in Christ's shoes, doing his job of reconciling or bringing back together the spirit that was separated from man and bringing back the men and women together. It's a privilege to fill Christ's shoes like that, really, like the highest of the high. And here we are, just sometimes we might not realize that. It's just such an honor and a privilege to fill Christ's shoes like that. And to understand, like, better how we, like, why it matters, how we present ourselves, and the way we stay peaceful, they're both important to being an ambassador. So to better understand that, let's go to Romans 12. Got a few verses to explain this. This is where it's about to get dope. So, get ready. This connection is crazy. You guys are going to be so blessed, I hope. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What this verse means by living sacrifice is just to dedicate our lives to God and carrying out his will. It's not any of that weird, like, cult stuff where it's like, you must be a sacrifice. Like, and also, it's obviously not a sacrificing your life literally, because that would be a dead sacrifice, not a living one. But it's talking about our reasonable service, dedicating our lives to God. Because when we are born again, we are an ambassador. So we dedicate our lives to God, and we share the word, and we fill out our duty as an ambassador for Christ. And we'll get to how we do that in a bit. 2 Timothy 2. Sorry, I'm not trying to rush this, but that's a lie, I am. Because I don't want to run out of time. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this verse is pretty similar because it also talks about our care and dedication for the word. We study to show ourselves approved unto God as an unashamed workman. And both of these verses, Romans 12:1 and 2 Timothy 2:15, they're very important because how we present ourselves matters, especially when we are carrying out God's will. It's just important. As an ambassador of Christ, we should be well presented as if we're representing Christ, because we are. That's what it is. That's what the job is. And how can we really expect to properly, like, present ourselves as ambassadors of Christ? How can we talk about just how great God is and what he's done for our lives if our lives seem a little messed up? Like, if our hearts are disturbed, if our lives are a mess when we're disturbed, we don't have our peace, it might not seem like what we're saying is the truth if we're trying to share the word to somebody. It might just kind of seem like we are lying, because if we look like a mess but are saying, oh yeah, God's going to do all this great stuff for you, does that add up? Obviously, we're not lying, because God will do that great stuff, but we have to realize that people who don't have the word won't know that. And like I said, this is not condemnation. It's not condemnation to be in a bad state, to not have your peace. It's just something that we should take care of for ourselves and for filling out our duty as an ambassador. And we can just fill out the job better. It'll only help us do a better job if we have our peace. We keep our peace. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5:20, the theme verse. So 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 6:1. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Something cool about these verses is that when these were written, there were no chapters or verses. It was all just one continuous flow. So you hear back to back, you hear, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. It's all one message. It's talking about how now we receive the righteousness. We then, as workers together, we're righteous and we're working together. I think it's just really cool. It's not too important, but I think it's cool how there was no chapters, no verses. That was just the flow of it. And essentially it's saying how we're not in this job alone. We're co-workers with God. We're not alone in sharing God's word the way Christ would, as our, like, with our job as an ambassador. The exact same way, we're not alone sharing his word, the same way we're not alone when we feel sad or depressed, because God's there for us. He's always there to take care of our hearts and cure us of any sadness. And the point I'm trying to make is that God wants us to be blessed and peaceful as his kids. And when we are, we can be great ambassadors for Christ. And to explain that and to close, let's go to Matthew 12. This is where I think it gets really cool. Matthew 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Remember how I've talked about this teaching, filling your heart with the word to get over your sadness, to help you feel cured from this. This is what gets us our peace back, filling our hearts with the word. So it's not just that we might not do the best job we can as ambassadors because we don't have our peace figured out, which again, it's not condemnation. It's more just if we want to do the best job we can, we should figure out our own lives, our own peace. But when we do have our own stuff all figured out and stuff and have a peaceful heart, that's filled with the word, which again, we find that peace through filling our hearts with the word. And read that last bit of the verse again. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So let's go through this step by step. Our heart's disturbed, right? We don't have our peace. So what we do is we fill our hearts and minds with the word, because that's what helps us find our own peace. Not only does that help us find our own peace, but now that's on our hearts. And here, again, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If our heart is filled with the word, we have found our peace and we will speak about it. We will speak about the word. Therefore, now having our peace and fulfilling our duty as ambassadors of Christ. And that's what I wanted to share.